This morning, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. Now, the first week, because you know the month of December is all about Jesus, and what I decided to do is talk about the gifts that keep on giving. And what is it that keeps on giving? Well, the first week, does anybody remember what I spoke about the first week? The Word of God. Amen. Love it when you listen. The second week, grace. So we talked about the Word of God, and then we talked about the grace of God, which, by the way, guys, was only last week. And then this week we're going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness. I think, and then next week is salvation. So you know, we talked about the grace of God and how it is because of His grace that He extends to us. And by the way, grace is unmerited favor. In other words, that we've not earned it, we don't deserve it. But yet God says, I love you so much, I'm going to give you grace. And so when we think of grace, it is what God gives us that we do not deserve. And then that was last week, the Word of God, obviously, is what, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we are grace, we understand grace because of the Word of God. We understand who Jesus is because of the Word of God. Listen, and by the way, you cannot know Jesus Christ apart from the Word of God. You cannot know grace of God apart from the Word of God. You will not understand forgiveness apart from the Word of God. And so the reason I started with the Word of God, because it truly sets up everything we understand about God. Amen. And truly gives over and over and over again. And so this morning, as we look at forgiveness, this whole last week has just been a pretty taxing week emotionally on so many people on so many different levels, and we think about forgiveness. And how many here, somebody has made you mad, right? I'm glad. And then those that don't raise their hand, you're either liars or rebellious. And I'm going to go with, I'm just going to give you the benefit, extend grace and call you rebellious. Okay. And so, you know, we've all, listen, and especially at Christmas time, how many struggle at Christmas time? Yeah, you know what? Christmas time comes and we get hurt feelings because somebody went over to somebody else's house, but they didn't come to our house. We didn't get the gift that we wanted. Nobody thought of us, or this person didn't think of us, or you know, whatever it is. And then so we all of a sudden we get hurt feelings during Christmas time. Emotions run high. This year, especially for our church, I mean, we have people that are struggling with cancer, people that are have passed away. Emotions are running high for that, and sometimes when death occurs, it creates a little bit of anger inside of us, and we have to deal with all of these emotions, and then God tells us to forgive, and we want to go, you don't know what they did to me, and yet God says, forgive, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Right? And I'm thinking, phew, you don't deserve God's forgiveness. I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And listen, why should He forgive us? Tell us, somebody help me, one reason why God should forgive us and why God should extend His favor to us over and over and over again. Somebody help me. Tell me why Jesus needed to die on the cross for us. What did we do so good, so worthy of His death? And the truth is, nothing. And so as I was looking at forgiveness, and here's the crazy thing. I was struggling trying to come up with a sermon on forgiveness. Struggling with how am I going to do this? Where am I going to come from? And then you read, and you're like, well, this is easy. There's several of you sitting in your seat right now going, well, Pastor, I could have done that for you. That's easy. That's simple. And hey, thank you so much. Why didn't you call me and let me know? And so as I looked at forgiveness, and I was looking at what does this look like? And it's always coming from Jesus, and then we're supposed to live it out and be Christ-like, but it's so hard for us. And I wonder how hard it was for God. And so all this rush of whatever we're going to do with forgiveness, and how do I tell you guys to forgive, right? Because some of you are just nasty and bitter in your heart, and you're not going to forgive. And by the way, that's fine. You have the right to not forgive, but understand it's your cancer that's going to eat you up. Forgiveness, when you don't extend forgiveness, that only hurts the person that holds on to the anger and the animosity and all that. Listen, that only hurts you. The forgiveness, though, that I'm talking about today is what God extended to us. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians. Open your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read 4:17 through 32. That's a lot of verses, which means you're going to be here a long time. I had somebody ask me, Pastor, why do you preach for 3 hours? First-time visitors, understand this, I don't. It may feel like it, but I don't. I only preach for an hour. And some go, that's a long time, Pastor. Why don't you get it down to 20 minutes like the rest of the pastors out there? Because this is the only time some of you give to God. And I think giving God 1 hour is, you can do that. Amen. I'm just going to help you get that hour in, spiritually speaking. Ephesians 4:17 says this. And we're going to read the whole passage and then come back and break it down. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And you will stop there for a second. You go, well, where's forgiveness? Well, the forgiveness isn't in this passage. This passage is to show why you need forgiveness. This passage is to show how your heart has been darkened by sin. Your heart is darkened by our heart. Let me include me in on this, okay? Because the truth is, all of us have darkened hearts by sin, amen? All of us have lust of the flesh. I was sharing with some others that there's three ways that we can sin, and I was discussing the three ways that we can sin. By the way, how many think there are more than three ways that you can sin? I'm just curious. Yeah, well, there isn't. I'm sorry. You're wrong. So, as we look at this, amen, Merry Christmas. And so, as we look at this and we see the three ways that we can sin, there really are only three ways, guys, and that's lust of the flesh, pride of life, lust of the eyes. Every sin falls under those three categories. So when it says Jesus sinned in every way that we sinned, or Jesus sinned, forgive me, Lord, that Jesus was tempted every way that we are tempted, yet without sin, there's only three ways. And of course, everything falls under those categories, if you will. And so as we look at this, and he talks about the sin in our heart and that is darkened, and it's because, guys, we're sinners. As much as we want to say, I'm a good person, and you may be a good person, but the Bible argues that. And the Bible says that, listen, there are none good, no, not one. Which means that you and I are all in the same category, which is why we all need forgiveness. And so when we read Ephesians 17 through 24, it's talking about, listen, if you're not following Christ, you're living in sin. And if you have Jesus Christ, you know better. But if you're not doing it, you're choosing to be sinful. And then he goes into 25. Look what he says in 25. Therefore, and you go, therefore, yeah, because of what I just read, 17 through 24, therefore, or because of, if you will, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I find it very interesting how a lot of us won't speak truth because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And so we're okay to lie to them. Well, how many have ever lied to somebody to spare their feelings? I'm just curious, right? Yeah, it's like, oh, I just don't. Well, if I tell them the truth, it's going to hurt their feelings. Well, why would you send them away, especially if they ask you? They're expecting you to be honest with them. They're trusting you to give them a real answer. And you're like, well, I want to spare their feelings. And so you lie to them, give them, mislead them. And then they go out on your lie and then embarrass themselves. And he says, listen, I want each one of you to speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Hey, married couples, how many of you allowed the sun to go down on your wrath? I'm just kind of curious, right? Some of you are like, I ain't raising my hand or nothing anymore. This is crap. It's all a trap. Visitors, don't listen to him. Be angry and do not sin. What does that look like? How are we to be angry but yet not sin? Because we are to be angry at the things things that are against God, not the things that we're selfish for. And you know, usually we get angry because we're not getting our own way. And God says, listen, I want you to be angry about the things that are not about the unrighteousness that's going on in this world and going on around you. And so that's how you're to be angry and sin not. Look here in 27. He says, nor give place to the devil. Man, how many times do we surrender what's right to spare somebody or because we don't want to be uncomfortable and we actually give place to the devil? Man, how many times have we set ourselves up for failure in the long run because we didn't take a stand for righteousness and we didn't take a stand for truth? Or we got angry and we allowed our anger to alienate somebody else. And he says, be angry and sin not. And you go, what's this have to do with forgiveness? Listen, if I don't set it up to help you understand why we need forgiveness, then I'm going to drop the ball here. You got to understand why we need forgiveness. And we need forgiveness because we're just sinful creatures. Man, we're selfish. Boy, you want to talk about selfish? Look around come Christmas morning and look at somebody that doesn't get what they want. I'd like to be in some of those households, thump them on the head, help them see a little reality. 27, nor give place to the devil. Look here in 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Wow. We are to help somebody else out. We're to give. Which, by the way, I'm going to tell you, this is the most giving church I've ever seen in my life. And we have taken on a family that's going to require us to extend like never before. And I'm telling you, Satan has beat me up over this, and God tells me to keep pushing forward with it. And I'm going, oh, Lord, okay. So as your pastor, I just wanted to go hide in a hole last week and go, hey, Lord, you deal with it. I don't want to. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt word. You know, it's funny because how easy we say things in sarcasm, right? Somebody hurts our feelings or somebody's just being foolish and then we throw out this sarcasm that just like pierces them. You know, that's when he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Or how is it that we feel like that if we condemn somebody, if we make them look bad, we look good. And you ever notice somebody that talks somebody else into the dirt? Who do you usually have compassion for? The one complaining or the one they're complaining about? We never look better when we're pushing somebody else into the dirt. We never look better when we're talking down somebody else trying to build us up. Listen, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Listen, guys, we're to build one another up. We have enough to overcome in this world, amen? We have enough. I don't know about you guys, but as I sit back and I'm watching these families go through struggles, and I think, when I think about Christmas time, and I've been asked, what do you want? Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a need or a want in this world that I can think of. Not one. What do you want? Man, I want my brothers and sisters to be healed. That's what I want. I want the heartbreak to stop. The loss of loved ones to stop. Death is going to come. That's inevitable. But sometimes death comes premature. Sometimes death is knocking at the door. And sometimes it's not even a physical death. It's just a mental checkout. Or maybe it is a spiritual death. And then you watch somebody who knew better, who had a hold of it, who was doing right. And then all of a sudden, Satan sneaks in. They give place to the devil. And next thing you know, they're wiped away. And you go, oh my goodness, come back. And then... they look at me as if I'm the bad guy trying to get them back. And I look at it and I go, Lord. Oh, you know, I'm kind of a physical guy. I like MMA. I like fighting. I'll be quite honest with you. When I was younger, my whole life growing up, just being very transparent, I like to fight. And before I got saved, I liked to fight. And then after I got saved, I went, dog, I can't fight anymore. So I'll just watch everybody else beat everybody else up. And so that's probably why I got into MMA, right? But I'm going to tell you, man, I want to punch Satan right in the face. Amen? I'm telling you, he riles me like nobody else. And I think that's the way it should be. I think as Christians, we should be riled up. And we should come together, as Jude says, that we need to come together. And listen, instead of accusing our brethren, man, we need to forgive them. Instead of pushing them out, we need to bring them in closer. Instead of thinking that we're more arrogant and better than them, listen, we need to say, you are forgiven. I'm not going to hold that against you, because except for it be to God, I'd be doing the same thing you're doing. And so let me help you come along and live this righteous life, this life of freedom. Because the truth is, when we live God's way and we understand forgiveness as God gives it to us, and when we understand how to give that forgiveness out to other people, whether they deserve it or they don't deserve it, because the truth is, there's not one person in this room that deserves the forgiveness of God. Not one. And yet he continues to give and to give and to give. And you know what we do? We continue to take and to take and to take. But then when it's our turn to give, for some reason we hold it out on it like it's ours. Like we have all the rights to it and you have none. And man, next thing you know, we're not extending grace. We don't even understand grace. We're not loving our neighbor. Listen, I'm telling you, Christmas time is not about gifts. Christmas time is about loving your neighbor as Christ so loved you, and that you share what he gave. And that's that gift of life and forgiveness and salvation and grace and mercy and all this stuff that we don't deserve, but yet he pours out on us, just desiring for us to be with him. And I'm just, my heart breaks, guys. Somebody asked me this morning, Pastor, are you okay? And I'm going to be quite honest with you, I'm not. Because I listen to people that come to me. And I want you to come to me. You need to come to me, because sometimes you're not thinking right and you really need some words of wisdom. And when God gives them to me, I give them to you, because in and of myself, I don't have any. But I think, and I listen to the anger in some of your voices. I listen to how you think you're so much better than somebody else. And you don't extend that grace. Stop. Just stop and look at what God gave to you. Look how God says, I love you and I forgive you. And yes, I know you're an idiot, but I still love you and I still forgive you. And we walk away going, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And that load that we had been carrying with us forever is now taken off because of the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and has allowed us to breathe again. But yet we won't extend it to our neighbor. I really believe with all of my heart that if we would extend grace and forgiveness to our neighbor, Our country would not be in the condition it's in. Our neighborhood wouldn't be in the condition that it's in. Guys, listen, I'm telling you, this grace and this forgiveness of Jesus Christ is not for you to take and hold on to. It's for you to receive and then to live it out and give it out. Do you know why people don't know about the grace of God? Because those who have felt it and understood it are holding it. I look at the pain. I was sitting in a family's home last week. They don't even come to this church and they're not saved. And the pain that was in their home and in their hearts, and you go in there and you're like, all you want to do is share Jesus, and all they say is, I'm good, thank you, Pastor, I don't need that. And I'm thinking, you need the forgiveness of God. And then they say, well, Pastor, you know, listen, I know a lot of Christians, and I appreciate you coming into my home trying to share your Jesus with me, but boy, I've seen the way other Christians live, and I'm just really, to be quite frank with you, I'm just really not interested. Because they didn't see forgiveness. All they seen was condemnation. All they seen was anger, irritation. And guys, it shouldn't be that way. We should impart grace to the hearers. 30. He says we need to impart grace to the hearers, but then he goes here and he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And after he tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he tells us what to do to avoid that. Look here, guys. 31. Let all bitterness. Man, how many of us are holding on to bitterness? And you know, usually what I have found, the only reason that we hold on to bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor is because we won't extend forgiveness. And we think that if we hold on to it, we got something over somebody else. And the truth is, guys, you don't have nothing on anybody. That anger and bitterness and clamor that you're holding on to, and that you won't extend grace to the hearer and offer forgiveness, listen, that is just going to eat you up. You ever meet somebody or you have something against somebody, and then you tell them, I forgive you, and they look at you and go, for what? And then you share the story and they go, I'm so sorry, but I don't even remember that. Right? As all this time you've been angry and unforgiving against somebody that is clueless. Now you're really angry. You're like, what? I think bitterness, listen, these words are words that destroy the one who holds it and doesn't extend grace and forgiveness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And look what it says here. What's the next word? Forgiving. As I speak to people, and I'm just going to tell you, pride stops forgiving. There's nothing else. Guys, there is nothing else that's going to stop you from forgiving somebody else other than your arrogance, your pride, you thinking that you have the right to hold that against somebody. Pride. Pride causes the bitterness. Pride causes the wrath. Pride causes anger. Because typically, if you're not forgiving, you are all self-consumed and you're holding all this in because you feel you have the right. And I'm going to tell you, you have no right. The only one that has the right to not forgive is God. And yet, He doesn't even extend that. He extends forgiveness. He extends grace. I want you to see, as we look through some of these verses today, as we look through them, I want you to see God's forgiveness. Undeserved favor. I want you to see how God says, I love you, even when you don't deserve it. Look here in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you go and you say, God, I am a sinner, please forgive me. You know what God says? You're forgiven. Oh, not earn it. Oh, he doesn't go, oh, well, listen, I'll forgive you if you da-da-da. No. He says, listen, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. Man, you let somebody confess their sins to somebody else, and what do they have? Ooh, we got a tool to hold over their head. God doesn't do that. And yet He has the right, and yet does not extend that right. He forgives us. Look at Isaiah 43. I love Isaiah 43, 25 and 26. It says this, I, God, I am the one who can destroy you. By the way, this is because Israel was choosing to not live for God, to feed their own flesh, to continue to sin, to continue to do what God had very clearly told them not to do. And He says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Guys, listen. I'm begging you today. I am begging you today to just stop and hear what God has to say. I'm begging you today to just take yourself out of this for a minute. Just quit looking at you and what you think you deserve and what you think is rightfully yours, because the truth is the only thing rightfully ours is hell. The only thing rightfully ours is the wrath of God upon us because we don't deserve anything. And yet God says, even I am He who blots out your sin. I am He who forgets what you have done. I am He who forgives. I am He who loves. Listen, you deserve nothing. But I'm going to give it to you because I love you. Look here in 26. Put me in remembrance. See, this is the problem with Israel, guys. Just for a moment, listen. Israel is going, God, we're going to serve our own gods, and we're going to make golden calves, and we're going to follow what we want to follow, and we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. And hey, God, by the way, thanks, but no thanks. God, I can do this on my own. Hey, God, thanks for delivering me, but man, you know what? You can go now. Run along. We don't need you. And God says, put me in remembrance. Why have you forgotten about me? Why have you forgotten your salvation? Why have you forgotten your deliverer? Why have you forgot? Why have you cast me aside like I was nobody when if it wasn't for me, you'd be dead? And He says, I want you to put me in your remembrance. You know when we're struggling and we feel alone and we feel like we have no hope, and you know why? It's because you've removed God from your remembrance. When you are all alone and you think there's no hope and there's nothing going on and no way to get out of the mess you're in, you have forgotten God. And He says, put me in your remembrance. I will remind you of the hope. And then He says, state your case. I love that. I love that. He said, I want you to come in and I want you to tell me why you should be acquitted. In other words, declared innocent. You come on and you tell me why I need to forgive you. Why I should not convict you. Why I should not throw you into prison, the deepest, darkest depth cell that I have. Why should I not do that? I want you to state your case. And you know, the truth is, they have no case. We have no case. And yet, God says, I want you to come in. Let's contend together. State your case so that I can forgive you. It's not so that I can convict you, but so that I can acquit you. God is not looking to thrash us. God is looking to forgive us and to deliver us. Even when we don't deserve it. I want you to look here at Hebrews 10:17. Then He adds their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Guys, don't forget the cost for this to happen. Don't forget the grace that it took and the mercy and the love of God. Now we want to think that we deserve this. Well, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're not. Neither am I. And just so you know, this isn't anything personal. Neither is my mama. And I love my mama, amen. Nobody's good. Nobody deserves God's forgiveness. God gives it to us because He loves us. And then He says, you are to extend that to other people. Why is it we don't listen to that? Oh, we freely take it, but we don't want to give it. And He says, listen, I'm going to tell you their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I want you to look here in Colossians 1, 13 through 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Okay, stop right there. He has delivered us from the hand of Satan. In other words, He has taken us who deserve nothing, guys. I'm telling you, you got to grab hold of this. And you guys, I don't want you to walk away going, wow, Pastor was pretty negative. No, I'm not negative, guys. I just want you to see reality. The worst thing that could happen is you walk out of here deceived. The greatest thing that could happen is that you realize who you really are and what Christ has really done. Because that's when we really appreciate the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? Forgiveness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has taken us from the pit and put us up as princess and princesses of His kingdom. He has taken us from darkness. By the way, to get a better idea of darkness, the Bible says that those who are not of God, that they're going to be in darkness, and that darkness says it's where the worm does not die. Okay, just to help you out, we're the worm. And why do they call us a worm? Well, because those who are going to hell because they reject Jesus Christ. How many have ever went fishing? Right? How many have ever, oh, ladies, I'm just curious. How many have ever put a worm on a hook? Right? How many have ever witnessed a worm going on a hook? Okay, I'm trying to get everybody involved with the worm. For those of you who don't know, okay, let's pretend you're the worm and somebody takes a hook and just hooks you. What's going to happen? You're going to be like, ah! Right? Some of you are like, nah, I wouldn't do that. I'm too manly. Yeah, get a big enough hook. You'll be the worm. I guarantee it. It's where the worm, the writhing, where the worm, you see the worms do this, right? It's writhing in pain. We're the worm. And God says, I delivered you from that darkness. My forgiveness has removed the hook. My forgiveness has removed the pain. It has removed the place. My forgiveness has given you the promise. But it's up to us to believe and to receive. And He says, listen, I'm going to tell you what. Then you can have the kingdom of the sons of His love. You can be in heaven. But only because of God's forgiveness. Nothing because of what we've done. I want you to look here in 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It is through Jesus Christ that we have redemption because He shed His blood. That's what extended that forgiveness, guys. And it keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving. Because you know the truth is, as long as you repent, you're forgiven, right? Now some people, and I know nobody in here, but some people will go, oh, I can go live this way, and as long as I went, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, will you forgive me? Thank you. And then you turn right around and you do it again. I'm sorry, Jesus. Will you forgive me? Thank you. And then you turn right around and you do it again. I'm sorry, Jesus. Will you forgive me? Thank you. Because you think it's a get out of jail free card. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not the repentance that God's talking about. The repentance that God's talking about is that when he died for our sins and he shed his blood and we believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior, that then all of a sudden when we decide to partake in sin, we stop and go, whoa, this is wrong and I'll not do this anymore because I am not going to grieve my Father who art in heaven. And I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And so I'm going to avoid the sin. And I'm going to come over here and I'm going to stand with Jesus and show him my appreciation for the forgiveness of my sins. That's literally what he's talking about here. And that's the attitude that we should have. It's the forgiveness of sins. And how does that happen? I want you to look here in Psalm 103:12. I want you to see what God does with our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, to give you an idea, as far as the east is from the west, they never intersect. In other words, they're not going to come back around. Because that would be east-west, then it'd be north-south, whatever. In other words, what's going to create the bend? East, west. In other words, you ever think about that for a minute? I just actually thought about that and couldn't connect the dots. That's because I'm a little slow. But east goes east and west goes north, south, east, west, right? How do you know? You're backwards from me. Listen, east goes east, west goes west. They never intersect. And God says, I'm going to take your transgressions and I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to cast them as far as the east is from the west. And then he says this, never to be remembered again. Unlike us, amen. And you know why I think we have a hard time believing God's forgiveness? It's because we can't seem to really forgive, can we? Oh, I forgive you until you make me mad, and then it's a tool I can take out of the toolbox to beat you over the head with it. And the truth is, forgiveness is a tool that you can no longer, once you've forgiven someone, you can no longer take it out of the toolbox. Whatever you've forgiven that person for, you can no longer use it against them. But we have this problem, don't we? We get mad at somebody and we'll go, yeah, well, you did blah, blah, blah. And they go, I thought you forgave me of that. Well, yeah, until I needed it. Right? Okay, so maybe nobody else has ever experienced that. And yet God says, I will never use it against you. I will never remind you of it again. If you have been forgiven of it, you are forgiven indeed. Who reminds us? Satan. Oh, Satan doesn't give a rip about you. He'll remind you of your sin. He'll remind you of your wrong. He'll remind you of whatever he can to create guilt, create anxiety, so that all of a sudden you start living this life in bondage that God never intended for you. And then you all of a sudden you're like, well, I just can't forgive myself. Well, let me tell you something. When you think like that, you are already thinking that your forgiveness is greater than God's forgiveness, which there's a problem. Because God's forgiveness is the only forgiveness that matters, because we only sin against God. We only sin against righteousness. And so if Satan is making you feel guilty for things that God has forgiven you, you need to let it go. Don't give Satan that kind of control. He says, listen, I have forgotten it and have thrown it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. I'll never use it against you. I'll never hold it against you. Listen, it won't even come up in court. It's done. It's gone. Forgiven. Forgiven from God literally means forgiven. And how often do we need to go to God and ask for forgiveness? Daily. Because I'm sure daily we have a wrong thought. We have a wrong act. Listen, I'm sure daily, especially with all this soft porn everywhere, you can't, listen, God, men, women, I don't think anybody's exempt today. You go walking down the mall, Abercrombie and Fitch, is that how you say it? Something like, you guys don't even know. Why was I under pressure? Have you ever walked down the mall and seen the entrance to their store? That is straight up porn. And we look at it and you just for a moment get a wrong thought. Now you capture that thought, but you get a wrong thought. What are we to do with that thought? Man, we are to go to the cross and ask for forgiveness. And you go, well, it's not my fault. Yes, it is. Sorry. And we ask for forgiveness. You know what God says that He'll do with that sin? He'll remove it from you, never to hold it against you, cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, forgiven. Guys, when we think of forgiveness, not only are we gladly to receive that from Christ, but we should be equally as glad to extend it to somebody else. Forgiveness. I think of forgiveness, and I think that if we forgive, our anger would be gone. I think our unrighteousness would be gone. I think hatred would be gone. I think the pain of hurting somebody else would be gone. The pain of carrying that with you would be gone. Forgiveness. What does forgiveness carry with it? Freedom. In one word, freedom. Freedom for the one carrying it. Freedom for the one who needs it. Freedom for the one who needs to hear it. To go to somebody. I was reading an article. You try to read a whole bunch of illustrations so I can give you guys illustrations for the topics that I preach on. And I was reading an article, and the guy was a terrorist. His name was David. That's all the information they gave me of who the guy was. And he was a terrorist, and he got thrown in jail. And while he was in prison, he ended up getting saved. But during the time he was in prison, and he got saved, and he was living the righteous life, the Christian life, if you will. And he gets a letter that this guy that his ex-wife is dating beats her up, and in the process of hitting her, when he went back to hit her again, he hit the 3-year-old little boy and crushed his nose. And so when this got to David, it enraged him. And so all he could think about was, if I ever get my hands on this guy, I will kill him. I will kill him. And so there was somebody, he had said that out loud, and there was somebody in the prison who said, wait a minute, you're a Christian and now you're talking about you're going to kill this guy? And he goes, I got every right to do it. And forget about being a Christian. I am going to kill this guy. And so it just kind of escalated from there. Well, fast forward 3 years later, guess who gets thrown in the same prison? This guy had messed up. It didn't say how. But he ended up in prison with David, and David seen him coming in, and he said, now I have my chance. And what he did was he calculated for 3 months how he was going to kill this guy that broke his son's nose and busted his face up. And so it was the night before. He had it all worked out. He knew where the guards were going to be. He already had a plan for distraction. I mean, he had it down to a T exactly what was going to happen, because he's going to kill this guy. And so as he's pacing, because he couldn't sleep that night in his cell, and he's pacing, and he's going through everything in his mind of how he could kill this guy and how it's going to play out and how perfect it's going to be. And as he's processing it, God said, forgive him. And David says in his story, I'm not going to forgive him, God. He does not deserve my forgiveness. And he kept pacing, and he went back to thinking about how he's going to kill this guy. And God goes, forgive him. And David says, no. And he goes back to pacing, and he goes back to thinking about how he's going to kill him. And then God says, forgive him. And at that moment, it struck him in the heart. And he said, he went to his knees and he prayed. And he asked God for forgiveness. That morning he gets up, and everything was exactly where it was supposed to be for him to go and kill this guy. And the guy had already gotten word that David was going to kill him. And so when David come out of the cell and goes out into the courtyard, he sees him over there, and he said he was over by the workout area, and he looked at him, and he said, you could see the fear in his eyes. He knew I was coming. And he knew I was going to kill him. And he said, I walked right up to him, and I stopped several feet from him, and I just looked at him, and I said, I forgive you. I want you to think for a moment about the gentleman that received forgiveness. And guys, if you know Jesus as your Savior, that's us. That's us. He forgave the man, turned around and walked away. That's us. And as I read that story, I couldn't help but to think of God pouring his wrath out on us and us trembling in our shoes, and yet God walks up and goes, I forgive you. I forgive you. We don't deserve it. We sure didn't earn it. But God's gracious love and mercy offered it to us. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, I'm gonna challenge you to do two things. One, I'm gonna challenge you to really think about what God's forgiveness has saved you from. I want to challenge you to think about the gift that keeps on giving, because he constantly forgives us and forgives us and forgives us. He never holds it to our account as long as we repent. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he is offering you that forgiveness, but the only way you can receive it is if you receive Jesus. That's it. There's no other way. So for the saved person in the room, born again, as John chapter 3 talks about, you think about the gift God has given you already. For the person who doesn't know Jesus, you think about the gift he's offering you right now. And then here's my other challenge. For those of you who know Jesus as your Savior, and you've not extended forgiveness to somebody, that needs to be their Christmas gift this year. Genuine forgiveness. Doesn't matter if they receive it or not. What matters is that you extend it. For the person who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, it's real hard to extend what you don't understand. Fully understand through the eyes of Christ. And so I challenge you today to accept the offer that Jesus extends, or the Father extends through Jesus, and that's forgiveness of your sins, life everlasting, eternity with the Father in heaven. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take a moment and think about what God has done for you, and think about who you can extend that grace to. And then if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to understand that he extended forgiveness to you just as he did to me and every living soul on earth that's past, present, and future. But in order to receive that forgiveness, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You have to believe that the Father sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you say, I don't really understand it all, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins, I want you to do this quietly in your heart. If you want to receive the forgiveness of God, I want you to pray this prayer. Understand that the words don't save you. What saves you is the fact that you believe. The words just help you go through the process so that you have a time stamp. You have a day where you said, today I receive Jesus as my Savior. Today heaven is my home, only because of the forgiveness of God. And so if that's your desire to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, today I believe on you. Today I receive your forgiveness. Because I understand that I am a sinner. I understand that because of the wrong that I have done in my life, the wrong that I can't fix, the wrong that I've been held accountable for, I understand your shed blood covered all of that wrong. And today, I repent of my sins. I ask for forgiveness. And I believe that you have forgiven me. Today, I surrender my life to you. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful gift. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you ask Jesus today to forgive you of your sins, I just want you to raise your hand. Today I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Today I accepted His forgiveness. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been holding a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness towards some people, but today I am making a commitment to go to them and forgive them. Today I am going to extend the grace to them that God has extended to me. Pastor, pray for me as I do that. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. So, amen. Amen. Today I have made a decision that I am going to go to those and extend forgiveness. Amen. Let me pray for you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as we make the decision to go to someone and extend forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you would open the hearts of the individuals that we go to. And Lord, that they would hear and see the genuineness in our heart. Lord, that they would receive the genuineness that we extend, that grace. Lord, we understand we're not better than anybody else. Lord, we also understand that the only reason that we're going to heaven is because of this forgiveness. We're all sinners like everyone else. But we believe on your grace and your forgiveness. And so, Father, I just ask for those who are making a decision to get rid of the bitterness and the anger and the clamor and go to the person that they've been holding whatever it is against, Lord, that they ask for forgiveness, Lord, that they extend forgiveness, whatever it is. Lord, that you would get the glory and that it would absolutely change lives this year. Help us to be men and women of God. Men and women who say, I am of Jesus Christ and therefore I will act like that. I will carry myself in such a manner. I will be Christ-like and therefore I will extend to others what Christ has extended to me. Father, I just pray this year, Lord. 2016 is coming to a close as Christmas is coming upon us. Lord, as all this stuff is going on, we're getting ready to go into a new year. Lord, I pray that as Christians, we truly would quit acting like we're better than somebody else, Lord, and that we would just be real and honest and open and loving and forgiving. Lord, I pray that we would quit taking advantage of your goodness, that we would quit taking advantage of your forgiveness, Lord, exercising it as a free pass to sin. And Lord, that we would just get serious with you, and that would overflow into every area of our life. Lord, I thank you and love you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your word. And thank you that you don't give us what we deserve, but you truly forgive. May we bring you honor and glory because we do the same. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.